This lesson is for Sunday morning, January 16, 2022. Well, good morning, Conqueror Sunday School class. This is Brother Ray Shutt, your teacher, coming to you again today from the internet, where we are bringing our 12th lesson in a series of lessons from the book of Ephesians entitled Identity, Life in Christ. Today's lesson, lesson 12, will be entitled Help for a Home and Work. And we'll be looking at the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Now, before we get into the lesson today, I want to give you a couple of announcements. Number one, we want to wish several folks a happy birthday this coming week. Today, January the 16th, is Lois Urban's birthday, and we want to wish her a great birthday today. Thank her for her faithfulness to help out. Brother Joe Garrett has a birthday on tomorrow, January the 17th, and Brother Joe, we're thankful to be able to wish you a happy birthday today as well. As well, on the 17th, as Kristen Hessler, her birthday will be on January 17th as well. Then Brother Jerry Davidson will have a birthday, along with Ruth Jennings, on January the 22nd. We want to wish each of you a very healthy and happy birthday in the month of January. Then we have a couple folks that have wedding anniversaries in the month of January. As a matter of fact, today, Ed and Colleen Willier, both of them have a very happy anniversary, and we're glad that they are able to celebrate this anniversary today. God has been faithful and good, and we're glad that Colleen is doing better with the cancer, and God has just been faithful there. And then we want to wish Brother Rob and Terry Ward a very happy anniversary coming up on January the 22nd. So folks, thank you for being part of the Conqueror Sunday School class. We thank you for having these birthdays that we can celebrate, all these candy bars that we can eat while you're not here with us. We can enjoy them for you, and we love you so much for allowing us to do that. Amen? We hope that you have a great day in the Lord. And then those of you that are celebrating anniversaries this week, God bless you as well. Now, we have another special announcement that we want to share with you this morning, and that is beginning next Sunday morning, January the 23rd, we will begin our in-person Sunday school and church services once again. Pastor made the announcement this past Wednesday evening on the live virtual service online that we will begin our in-person services again on Sunday, January the 23rd. That means that we will be having Sunday school at 9:45, and then the preaching service will be at 10:45 in the main auditorium. And then on Sunday night, again, as well, at 6 p.m. Then on Wednesday evening, the services will begin at 7 o'clock, and we'll be having the children's services. All the other activities will be going on as normal, beginning January the 23rd. Now, let me recommend something to each of you. God has given each of us wisdom, and he gives us discretion, the Bible says. And I want to recommend to each one of you that you use your own personal discretion and precautionary measures. If that includes wearing a face mask when you're in the building, then please do that. Keep yourself safe. Please feel confident about being able to come back and be in the house of God as we come back to the services. And if you're not certain about it, then take your time and just be sure that you are well, number one, in order to be able to come. And then number two, that you protect others around you as well as protecting yourself. So we look forward to seeing you back on January the 23rd, which is next Sunday. We look forward to seeing you here in Baker Auditorium at 9:45. Well, let's begin our lesson this morning. Lesson number 12 is entitled Help for a Home and Work. If you're on the internet there, you pull up the lesson outline. You can follow along with us this morning. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. Our lesson theme verses are found today in Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, where the Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." I want to sum up the lesson today in one simple question, and it's this. Am I allowing the Spirit of God to be my help at home and at work? You know, I truly believe that the greatest institution upon the face of this earth, other than the local church, is indeed the family. As we saw in our lesson last Sunday, it all begins with a man and a woman who choose to submit themselves, first of all, to God through a proper salvation relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, successful marriages for a man and for a woman come from each of them having a successful relationship with God as well as with each other. And as we saw last Sunday, if we have a Holy Spirit-controlled relationship with God, then we will be able to have an even better Holy Spirit-controlled relationship one with another. That's not only in the home, but that's in the workplace as well. Now today, our lesson deals with home and work relationships and how that they both ought to exalt the Lord God who has saved us. And it should open the door of opportunity for us to encourage other members of our family as well as those we work with and for in the Lord. You see, you and I are to honor the Lord, our Savior, in whatever situation we may be in, whether it be at home or at work or even at play. Our job is to allow folks around us to see Christ Jesus in us. Now, as we learned last Sunday, we need to allow Christ and His sweet Holy Spirit power to be seen in us as a husband or a wife, so that our spouse can then be strengthened and encouraged in the Lord. Our children, too, they need to see Christ in us as well. Our lesson theme verses today, though, remind us of the great responsibility that God has placed upon us, both as parents and instructors at home, but also as members in the working world, whether we be in authority over others or whether we be under the authority of those above us. We are to identify ourselves as true and faithful members of the body of Jesus Christ through these two verses found in Ephesians chapter 6, which say, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." Our job as parents is not to provoke or to stir up wrath and anger against our children, but rather we are to love them to Jesus as we work diligently to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, God had Moses speak unto the people of Israel there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 12. And there Moses told him, he said, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." And we are to specifically teach our children, folks, in such a way so as to help them see not only the need, but the true reason for living for the Lord now while they are young, so that when they are older and they have their own families, they can teach them the same Bible truths as well. You know, Solomon wrote of this, over in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 1. And he wrote this warning. He said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Thank God for the solid foundation and godly instruction and wisdom that we are able to receive from this old blessed book that we call the Word of God, the Bible. These verses help us whether we be at home or whether we be at work. And in our lesson today, the Apostle Paul reaches out to those believers in Ephesus so to help them no matter where they were, whether at home or at work. Paul encouraged them to be the godly examples before others that God had saved them to be. Now let's take a look at this lesson this morning. It's going to be a great lesson, and I hope it will be a help to you today. Again, it's entitled, Help for Home and Work. Now let's look at this thing today, beginning in Ephesians chapter 6. Follow along with the lesson outline there on our webpage. We're going to start, number one, with the parent-child relationships. Here, the apostle begins his instructions of wisdom for the family by first writing to the children, where we see specific exhortations to the children. What does he tell these children, first of all? Number one, he tells them, obey your parents. Now, that may seem like a very stringent exhortation. But folks, that's where it begins at home with our children. They need to be taught to obey their parents. Look at what Brother Paul said. He said in verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now I want you to know this, first of all here, who the Apostle Paul is speaking to. He's speaking to children, little unlearned ones who are members of a family relationship. Notice too here that he desires these children to do something. And what is that? It's to exalt God by obeying their parents. You know, children can exalt God too. And they first learn how to do that through obedience unto their own parents. I also want us to note the fact that this word obey here in verse number 1, it is in the present tense form. And it signifies that the action that it is expressing is to be a continual action. Now notice too how these children were to obey their parents. Look at what he said. He said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." That term, in the Lord, literally means as unto the Lord, or because you belong to the Lord. And therefore, it proves the fact that he was indeed instructing those families who knew Christ Jesus as their Savior. He was helping them to be a good, godly family. Now look at what else the Bible said. As born-again children of God, these families, even those children within those families, knew that as Christians, it was only right to do that which they did as unto the Lord. Solomon wrote about this over in the book of Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. And he wrote this, he said, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." And over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, we read, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Notice here too that Paul is, he's not speaking to unsaved parents, but rather to those who knew the Lord. And they were trying to teach their families to live for God as well. Those folks that do not know Christ as their Savior, they're not going to have the desire to do all that they do as unto the Lord, do you think? I don't think they will. But those who are saved, we should strive to do all that we can do as unto the Lord, even as we teach our children, our grandchildren, to do all that they do unto the Lord as well. Now note again, Paul's exhortation to both the parents as well as to the children. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now let me ask you something this morning. Does that mean that a child is to obey their parents even if the child knows that what the parents are asking him to do is biblically wrong or it's not morally right? Not at all. Paul is encouraging these young people to love the Lord by obeying their parents in the Lord. Again, we must remember what the Bible teaches us, whether we're young or we're old. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse number 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Let me explain this verse by giving you an illustration. When I got saved, I was 15 and a half years of age. And my mom and dad, they were smokers, okay? They smoked all the time. And my mom gave me the command, so to speak, to go to the drugstore and pick her up some cigarettes. Now, I usually rode my bicycle up the road, crossed over the main street, and went right up to the little convenience store that was there. And I bought little things that our folks wanted me to buy, and I enjoyed doing that sort of thing. But one day, my mom asked me to go and get her some cigarettes at the store. And I had to stop and think about that for just a moment, and I thought, Lord, I can't do that. I've been telling folks that I got saved. If I go up here and get these cigarettes for my mom, people are going to think that I'm smoking. They're going to think that I'm doing wrong, and I can't do that. So I went to my mom, and I said, Mom, I love you, but I can't do that because, you know, I've told everybody that I'm saved, and what are people going to think? And, Mom, you've told everybody that you were saved, and you know Christians ought not be smoking. You shouldn't do that either. And so I had to refuse to do what my mom told me to do, even though it made her very upset with me. I chose not to do that which was wrong. I didn't choose to disobey because I wanted to be rebellious, but rather I chose to not do that which she asked me to do simply because I truly loved both her and the Lord, and I wanted to bear a good testimony for the Lord. And at that time in her life, she simply didn't understand. Later on in life, when she got things right again with the Lord and she stopped smoking, she apologized for ever asking me to do something like that. But folks, I want you to understand, there are times that we have to make some choices. Don't put your children or your grandchildren in positions where that they have to choose to disobey you in order to be right with God. Help them, encourage them to do right and to obey the Lord in all things, to obey their parents in the Lord in all things. But then I want you to notice here also how that Paul not only exhorts them to obey their parents in the Lord, but he also exhorts and encourages these young people, saying to honor your parents. He encourages them to honor their parents. Look at verses 2 and 3. He writes here and he says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." You see, Paul wisely exhorted these young people to not simply do what the parents said do, even if they did it with a bad attitude, or so they simply wouldn't get in trouble for disobeying, but rather he was teaching them true biblical and godly character when obeying their parents, and to respect their parents' commands and instructions in courtesy and in kindness, because as their parents, they deserved true, heartfelt courtesy, honor, and respect from their children. Notice here also that this word honor, as it was in the case of verse 1 with that word obey, this word honor is also in the present tense, meaning this word shows itself to be a continual process in a child's life. We're to honor our parents daily. Each time we do something to obey them, to show that we love them, we're to honor those parents, not in just a bad attitude type of obedience, but we're to do it because we truly love them from our hearts. And these words of instruction are not only beneficial to the parents, but they are given as words of wisdom, as words of blessing and guidance for the children as well, reminding them here, look at it, it is the first commandment with promise. And as Paul goes on to write, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now this was a quote from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, wherein God gave Moses his list of 10 commandments of benefit and blessing to the children of Israel. This particular command stated with a specific promise from God, it said, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There's also a verse over in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, where again, God's commandment to his people are reviewed by Moses before the people. And we read in that verse, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, he tells them, he says, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, either way, in either one of those situations with those verses, the point is given by the Apostle Paul through the divine guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, so that at an early age, even these young people might know and understand that God blesses obedience to parents that is given from a loving and a grateful heart. Listen, every child ought to love their parents enough to obey them. Is this not also the way that you and I, as adults, are to obey our Heavenly Father each and every day? We're to love God, folks, from a loving and a grateful heart. We're to obey God because we love Him enough to do it. Children who choose to disobey their parents, and Christians even, who choose to disobey their Heavenly Father, they both, now listen to me, they both reap the same consequences of willful disobedience and rebellion. They reap chastisement. They reap punishment, and sometimes even an early death. It's always best to do what we do in life as unto the Lord and with a grateful love and obedience within our heart. But then, in the next verses, we see where Paul gives his exhortation to parents. He gives exhortations to parents. Now, folks, listen to me. As parents, we are to set the example. We are to do that which is right unto the Lord because our children are watching us. Now, listen. The first exhortation that Paul gives to these parents was, number one, was don't provoke. Don't provoke. Since the days of the Garden of Eden, we can see just how difficult sin has made it for parents to be godly parents and for their children to become godly children. But God has so graciously given us a rule book filled with His words of wisdom and guidance, both for parents as well as for children. That book is called the Word of God. Folks, it's the Bible. And since Paul knew that God had so set the leadership arrangement of the home to begin first of all with the father, then the mother, and then with the children, Paul wrote unto those fathers in Ephesus, whom God had held responsible for the spiritual maturity and growth of all those within their homes. And he writes here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, he said, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now that word, that term provoke, it literally means here that they were not to dish out unreasonable commands or show some type of needless severity for not obeying their commands or even demonstrate any sort of great display of anger that would do their children harm or cause them not to love their parents when discipline was necessary or when it was earned for not obeying some certain or specific command. Listen, they were not to curse at their children. They were not to call them bad names. They were not to provoke them to anger. Listen, they were not to intentionally arouse anger or despair within a child's heart, or to cause that child to have cause to harbor hatred and distrust toward their parents within their heart. This was in no wise God's plan for discipline within the family unit. But the fathers were to love their children with the same type of love that God had for them as his dear children. These fathers were to love their children and to bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Now listen, I'm going to state something here today that some of you may not realize, but no child is perfect. Did you know that? There are no perfect children. Listen, grandparents, even those grandchildren are not perfect. And do you know why? It's because they don't have perfect parents, and they don't have perfect grandparents. Listen, if children are loved and encouraged to do that which is right, and then disciplined in love rather than in anger, these actions will help a child's relationship with their parents to remain close, even as their relationship with God will remain close. If a child can see how his or her parents love and honor and respect the Lord in all that they do, then those children will see how important it is for them to do the same, both with God and with their parents, as unto the Lord, or as in the Lord. But then Paul also encourages us as parents to properly train and admonish our children. I've often heard it said, man, I wish there was a rule book that taught proper parenting techniques. Well, folks, there is. It's called the Word of God. It's the Bible. And God's Word teaches us over and over again how that we, as godly parents, are to not provoke or to incite our children to anger against us or against the God that we say that we love and honor. We are, as we see here in the latter part of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, we are to bring them up. We are to let them see in us, and we are to teach them through our attitudes and actions how that they too can live godly by our own living example before them. And we're to do that in the nurture. That means in the tender, loving care, in the nurture and admonition. Now that word admonition simply means in gentle instruction, in loving teaching of the Lord. All children of every age, they need discipline in this life. That's a fact. But that discipline needs to be God-centered and purposeful in their lives. Listen, we don't discipline our children just to take out our anger on them. No. We discipline our children so that they will learn to not do things that are contrary to God's word or to our intentions. And we do that so that they will say, you know what, Mom, Dad, you're right. I love you. Thank you for teaching me that. Listen, the end result of godly discipline is in helping that child to have a truly repentant heart for their wrongdoing, along with a desire established within their heart not to do that particular wrong action again. Therefore, when a parent brings up a child in the nurture, in the admonition, in the proper upbringing, in the admonition or the gentle reproof and loving teaching of the Lord, they are showing that child the way that God nurtures and gently admonishes each of us who know him as their Savior as well. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, there it speaks of this very same thing. It instructs parents. Moses instructed the parents, and he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Now let me stop right there just a moment. Parents, are you loving the Lord your God today with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might? Listen, if you're not willing to do that, How do you expect your children to be willing to do that? My goodness, that'll preach, won't it? And then look what he said. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And in the latter part of that very same chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 6, we see the reason for proper and godly teaching unto our children. Where Moses stated unto these parents, verses 20 through 25, he said to them, he said, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be for our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. One day, folks, your children are going to ask, why do we do what we do for God? And you need to be able to tell them. You need to be able to remind them what God has done for you, and how that all that we do is done because God first loved us, and we now want to show our love unto him. Now, in the next verses, the Apostle Paul then goes from parenting in the home to working in the field and in the world with others who may or may not know the Lord. And it begins it all with godly servant-master relationships. Look at this today. Paul begins his teaching now by addressing the issues between servants and their masters, whether at home or on the job site. And he gives an exhortation to servants. Look what he said. Number one, he said, you are to sincerely obey. Sincerely obey. Look at what he wrote here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You see, sincerity comes from a heart that is grateful and knowingly blessed by God. Many people in our world today seem to not be happy or grateful for anything. Have you noticed that? Especially the opportunity to work and to be able to provide for the well-being of their family. But in all truth, each of us today should be grateful unto God for the opportunity and the privilege that we have to be able to work and glorify the Lord through the manner in which we do our work. A person may have a tough boss or a really hard supervisor that's hard to get along with on the job in one way or another, but they belong to Christ. And because they belong to Christ, their work habits, their sense of dedication to doing a good job should always be done as unto the Lord. Now, servants in Paul's day They were encouraged to be obedient to them that were their masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Now you say, well, preacher, what's that mean? Well, it simply means they were to be serious about their job and the position that they held, and they were to always show their master the proper respect and honor that they were due. We today should work to honor our bosses on the job site with that same attitude and spiritual insight as well. Listen, when our boss looks at us, he ought to be able to say to anybody who asks them if we're a good worker, he ought to be able to look at them and say, man, I wish I had more like him. Listen, notice too here that Paul instructed them to be obedient to their masters in singleness of your heart, meaning they were to serve their master with sincerity and truthfulness instead of with lies and hypocrisy. Employees who know Christ should have a testimony that shows their honest and sincere love for Christ as well as their dedication to doing a good job, even when the work environment may not be as conducive as one would desire. But thirdly, they were to do all they did as unto Christ. And that means they did not need to cheat on their time card. Amen? They didn't need to fill out false information, nor did they need to go along in agreement with other employees who had no problem in doing dishonest things on the job, cheating on their piece rates, cheating on the hours that they actually worked, and the such like. Listen, you and I work not only for those who have hired us, but we work full time for the Lord. As a born-again child of God, we work for the Lord both on the job and away from the job. And people take note of that, folks. They take note of what we say we believe. But then lastly, Paul exhorted these folks to work hard and to give their best to their job even when no one was watching them. Folks, do you realize this today? God sees what we do. And God sees why we do it, whether anyone else around us sees us or not. And that is why every servant of God who is a born-again child of God should keep their eyes on Jesus in all that they do and say. Because one day you can expect, point number two, you can expect reward. Listen, there's more to life than getting a paycheck on Friday. One day we're going to stand before God, and he's going to reward us according to our works here on this earth. Look at what he wrote here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. One day, dear child of God, you and I will indeed receive our reward for service unto God from the very one who has saved us and given us this opportunity to serve him while living on planet Earth. Knowing this fact should serve as an incentive to every child of God to give their best in all they do for the Lord, whether it be on the job or in the home or in whatever field of ministry that we may serve. And that testimony for the Lord, it will make a difference in the way our world sees us and takes note of the fact that we are Christians traveling through this same world that they're traveling through each and every day as well. We serve in this world for more than a simple paycheck each week, do we not? You and I, as Christians, we serve in this world knowing that one day we can expect an eternal reward for the service we have done for the Lord Jesus Christ. But then Paul not only addresses servants in the workplace, but he also gives exhortations to the masters. Notice here what he says and what he tells those Christians who served as masters, as supervisors, as bosses here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 9. He said, and ye masters, ye bosses, you supervisors, you vice presidents and owners of the company, listen, ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Now, what's he telling them? Well, number one, he's telling them, don't threaten. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. Whatever they, as a master, expected from their servants and from their employees, those servants and employees need to be able to expect the same thing from their masters. The same attitude, the same honesty, the same sincerity, the same truthfulness, the same love of God in the work that they did. Listen, while a master may have to, at some time or another, reprimand an employee for some type of wrongdoing or some type of slackness in his work, or they may have to reprove in godly honesty and integrity, even as Christ would do for them, they needed to do this without threatening, without bullying, without discrimination, in order to meet unreasonable demands and services. A Christian master should remember their master. Folks, you and I have a master today that we serve. And Paul here reminded those Christians in Ephesus who may work in some type of authoritative position to never forget that they too have a master in heaven. And knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Each of us, folks, think about this. Each of us will one day give account unto God, our Heavenly Father, and our Supreme Master one day, even as we read in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, where the Bible says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself unto God. God's judgment is always fair. It's always honest. Therefore, our judgment in all matters of work and toil while here on this earth should be the same. It should be fair. It should be honest. Listen, I remember Dr. Bob Jones Sr. writing, and he said this. He said, do right. Do right. Do right till the stars fall. Do right. Now, Conqueror's Class member, never forget that God always gives his children exactly what they need to do wherever they set out to do it. Whatever power you need to serve the Lord in the job that you do, God is willing to give it. What you and I need to determine today in our hearts and lives is that whatever we do for the Lord, we will always give him the honor and the glory that he deserves in the good times and also in the bad times. Listen, God is our ultimate authority in all that we set out to do for him. So let's choose today not only to trust and obey him, but let's choose to do it all with a grateful heart unto the Lord. God is indeed our help for home and is our help for work. But maybe you're listening today to the sound of my voice and you do not know Christ as your Savior. Listen, my friend, if you've never been saved, today you need to trust Christ as your Savior. Don't wait until you're sick and dying and you're not able to make that choice. Listen, today is the day of salvation. Won't you please come to Christ today? Let God give you the help that you need for your family, to train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let him give you that help that you need to work a good work on the job site and to be able to handle the pressures of the job. Listen, God can help you. But you need to be saved above all things. Father, I know, Lord, that the lesson today has been a little longer than normal. But, Father, I pray, God, that the lesson today would be a help to your people. I pray, God, that you'll strengthen them to trust you, to obey you, and to know and understand that, God, you are our help for home and work situations. God, please help us to allow your sweet Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us in all things that we do, so that we might do whatever we do as unto the Lord. And Lord, if there be somebody today that needs to be saved, please, God, help them, Lord, to come to you today and call upon your name and trust you as their own personal Savior. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to have the class today. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, we want to thank you for joining us today again here online for our Sunday school lesson from the Conqueror Sunday School class. The lesson has been it's been entitled Help for a Home and Work. Now listen, next Sunday, January 23rd, we're going to be back in person in Sunday school and in church, and I hope to see you here. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. We love you so much, and we look forward to seeing you in person next Sunday.